Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's up? Welcome into the CHGO Bears podcast on a victory Monday. Let's not forget that.
Let's not forget that.
It's still a win. It's still a win. Presented by PointsBet. Use code CHGO to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. You okay?
Yeah, I'm just so happy to be here. So happy to see the Woot. So happy it's a Monday, Bears Monday victory situation. I've had a hell of a morning already. Did a rewatch, did a TV, thanks to the fine folks at Fox 32 for bringing in the car. I'm so excited to see you. I called up Hogue this morning, Woot, and I'm like, hey, I'm doing a Justin Fields. He answers the phone. He's like, "Hey, Carm," like super excited. And then I was like, "I'm like, yo, I got a Justin Fields comp. I want to add in one quarterback." He's like, "Hey, I gotta go. Let me call you right back." Dude didn't call back for a good 30 minutes. I thought it was just a straight like unconscious. Didn't want to hear comps to Fields.
Okay, first of all, let's clear up.
And what, I don't know what there's
core moon in the house on a victory Monday. All right. Let me come clean. First of all, it's because 2 seconds after you called me, Jason McKee called me.
We got
a big game against St. Pat's coming up. We got things to figure out.
The game planning.
We had a couple pieces of film missing that I was on the hunt for this morning. We had priorities. Okay, Carl. I had to pick up that phone. Also, I was on the phone for him. I'll look it up right now. I'm pretty sure it was 8 minutes and 56 seconds. Right. And the second I hung up, I called you back. Eight? So don't try to say it was 30 minutes.
Okay. So hold on. First of all, to the chat. I'm just curious what people think. Hanging up on Carm for McKee, we all love J-Mac, but, like, I don't know. I'm curious where that lands on that decision by Hogue, just where people are at on
hey, McKee. I love J-Mac. Shout out to J-Mac, right, so man. Clearly, he's the man over there.
Clearly, Woot is saying 37 over Carm, which is a fine take.
It was a nine-minute call.
Okay, so, but 9 minutes for me waiting for you feels like 30. It's a compliment. How's that? You like that play? I think that's accurate.
It's like a segue into the running game, right? The fullback, Blazin game, McKee. You know, like, that's where we're going, right?
I got to talk fullback. I was getting really excited about the fullback yesterday.
Yeah, I love the fullback.
I was threatening to buy a fullback jersey in the middle of the game.
Yo, I think instead of that Khalil Mack that you bought at Kmart,
you should
get the Blazin game.
I love it.
I do have to upgrade to a real jersey. I don't know if I'm going Blazin game, but I'm open for some process and some discussions on what it's going to be. Maybe it is. Maybe it'll be Blazin game. Although I'm more of a... I don't know.
You're more of the discount, whatever.
No, I know. We're gonna go full price on this bad boy. Okay. I'm thinking 11.
There were some awesome jerseys at the tailgate yesterday.
Okay.
And 52 was out there in a real one.
We had a Chris Zorich jersey.
That's a good one.
I'm just disappointed we didn't have a Corey Wooten jersey out there. Come on.
I know, man. Someone's gotta have it.
Someone's gotta step up their game.
What if I just went full Woot Northwestern look?
That's what you got. 99 Northwestern, baby.
99. Oh.
A Bears Chase Daniel jersey?
Now that's a diehard.
He was really excited about maybe Justin Herbert not playing yesterday, but then he did play.
My man's made a lot of money. Shout out to Chase Daniel.
Chase Daniel, man.
Backup quarterbacks, it pays, baby.
Name a quarterback who's had a better career in terms of making money and not taking hits.
No one.
I mean, that ratio, he has to have the best ratio ever.
Goat.
Yeah. What about Josh McCown towards the end of his career? He made a good chunk of change the past couple
of
years.
He did, but he still had to play a lot.
Yeah, you better back that off right there. Josh McCown was like should have been a starter in this league. He was like a legit dude.
No, he's a legit dude, but I'm saying he was a journeyman up until like the last six, 7 years.
And then he just took off.
Yeah.
By the way, that's the jersey you should buy.
I should get McCown.
You are the president of the Josh McCown fan.
And that's no disrespect to Josh McCown. Josh McCown was a beast, man.
He's probably going to be a head coach soon.
Good move by Devin, by the way, getting the Brisker. That's a solid play. He's going nowhere. You're going to love that nine. Yep. Plus, you have Jordan Olympic on the backside of that nine.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Carm's ready to go, man. He's got the caffeine popping.
Yeah, he does.
We're on number two today. I was getting extra points for every coffee I bought today on Starbucks.
I was really confused when I walked in here, though, and you weren't sitting in here. I think that's the first day that's happened.
I went different process today. I had a whole different process.
You changed things up like Justin Fields?
Well, I went in studio for the TV, and then I was in the suits, and then I went back. I'm taking care of Poppy the puppy. So, and yesterday I completely screwed over Poppy the puppy, and I wanted to do it right this morning. Okay. So we spent some more time and I prepped at home and I'm, you know, okay, enough with me.
Look out for
I feel better, by the way, after watching the tape. I don't know.
I do.
Do you?
Okay. Well, we can make it a positive Monday.
Yeah.
Welcome in Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, Corey Boone. We're all here. We've watched the game. We've digested it. Yesterday was definitely a day where they get the win and it didn't exactly feel that way. But we're going to try to keep it positive today on this Monday. There's definitely some things we have to break down that people probably don't want to hear, but it is reality. That being said, I do want to focus, and we'll get to this a little bit later on the show, in some things that are actually improving, like for the franchise.
Yep.
You know, there are areas of improvement. You don't get to 2-1 in the NFL without something going right.
Exactly.
And because it is still the NFL, it is hard to win, and you do celebrate any victory you can get. It, you know, nobody says that more than Tom Brady. It's all about surviving that week, getting the W, fixing whatever you need to fix after that as long as you get the W. Let's start with you, though, Corey, because you weren't on our post game yesterday. Just want to get your overall thoughts. Let's start with the defensive line, because I know you want to talk about that. You were a little concerned about the lack of pressure throughout the game. What did you see?
Yeah, so a big thing we talked about in the run fits a lot of times, right? Guys are in their gap, but they're not getting enough penetration and getting off blocks. That's a key thing, right? Because I think if the Texans were consistent with Pearson that game, he would have really gashed them. So that's hard to see. And then pressure-wise, right? Guys aren't rushing together. That's the big thing I see. You know, a lot of times Robert Quinn's making an inside move. The tackle that's on his side is not covering him. Davis Mills is able to scramble out, complete a third and long. Same thing on the left side as well with Travis Gibson, Al-Kadeem Muhammad making inside moves. Tackle's not covering him. So everybody has to work together in rush, and they're not doing that now. You know, I thought they've been pretty good rushing the passer, but you have to rush as a unit, right? And that's what people fail to realize sometimes. And I thought they would get that corrected, but they haven't thus far. So that's my biggest criticism on the defensive line. Not penetration, not getting off the blocks, and then not rushing together.
I just noticed that it was a great day for Davis Mills back there. He had a lot of time. He was hanging out. And as far as Pierce, I mean, no argument for me.
Yeah,
it could have been a lot worse.
Exactly. So that's a big thing, pressure. And I thought they would pressure the passer better. Remember we talked about Al-Kadeem Muhammad, right? He had a great year last year as a full time starter. He had a great training camp, preseason we saw of him, and he just doesn't seem like the same guy that we saw last year, right? And I don't know if it's last year he mostly played on the right side. So sometimes guys have a particular side that they like, but you know the best pass rusher on the team, Robert Quinn, is on that right side. So you're going to have to play the left side. So you have to get comfortable with it. Like when I play with Julius Peppers, a lot of times he'd go both sides, and they would try to match up him against a different tackle. So I prefer the left side, but I had to play the right side. You have to become comfortable at it, and you have to be good at it and be able to play both sides.
Let me ask you about that, because yesterday seemed like a perfect example of a day where you try to move Robert Quinn around, but they didn't really do that. Like, he seems to just want to be on the right side, even if he's going up against Laremy Tunsil. That was a tough matchup.
Exactly. There's some guys in the league that like to play one particular side. Myles Garrett as well, he likes to play that right side. And they just got comfortable getting out of that stance. And there's some guys that can play both. They do the matchup thing. So I think that's what the Bears are doing. You know, Robert Quinn just wants to play that right side, and everybody else kind of plays on the left side. So, it's just Al-Kadeem Muhammad, like I said, I think he's more comfortable on the right side, and he's playing the left mostly. So you just have to get used to it. I mean, that's the thing. Robert Quinn's, like I said, the most talented pass rusher. So you got to play that left side.
I got two questions on a follow-up here. Number one, if you polled most D linemen, would they have a preferred side? And number two, would most prefer playing the right and or the left in general?
So I think majority of people usually just based off getting in a right-handed stance prefer the left side, right? Just from the time you're younger, you get in that stance. And then if you play on the right side, you have to get in a left-hand stance. So sometimes people don't feel as much explosion coming off that right side or not. Because I know when I first was playing both sides, like I felt like I really had to work on my get-off on that right side compared to the left. Just because you're pushing off a different leg, you have a different hand down. So it's kind of you got to get used to it, because my whole college career I just played the left side, and I got used to it and comfortable with that. And then when I first got to the Bears, they're like, "Yeah, you need to play both sides." And I was like, "Okay, I gotta work on this," because it felt really uncomfortable.
I would think left hand down is easier. Does that make sense?
Or no, well, you got to think about it. Most guys, you know, even just having your right hand down just feels more comfortable, you know, with that right foot back. A lot of people like to push off that left leg. And even from, like, basketball, right? Yeah. You know, if you do a right-handed layup, right, you jump off your left leg. That's your first leg that you push off of. So that's why guys feel more comfortable with it.
And then it's funny, like, no matter how much you play, sometimes when you go for the left-handed layup, it just
feels funny.
Feels more comfortable to still go off your left leg, even though that's wrong.
Exactly, right?
Like, even though you're supposed to do it the other way.
Not this guy, you got that lefty layup.
Like playing basketball, right, going for a lefty layup, you don't feel, like, as explosive, right?
Yeah,
it's something you got to work at.
It doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, so exactly.
That's a good comp. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
If we're bringing in other sports, dudes in tennis.
I knew you were going to do that.
Yep.
The T word was coming next.
Well, I want to return on the ad side. I want to turn on the deuce side because I'd rather my backhand return.
You got Mark Djokovic here.
It's a thing.
Can I just point out the look on Matt Eberflus's face right here on this amazing graphic that Joey is producing today, put on the screen?
Is that for the defense or is that for the quarterback?
I just feel like that's the perfect image for today.
Yeah. You know, you're kind of like, eh.
It's a little aggressive. We did win. He looks like really upset. Like, season, that's a borderline season overlook. Like, you don't know.
No, that's like we gritted out this win against the Texans, but we're still not happy about it.
Really?
Yep.
I see full on just.
Did you guys see the picture of him, like, from his high school football days where he had the big neck roll or whatever?
No.
He showed it on the game, yeah.
Oh, I missed that somehow.
Yeah, he was like, you know, he had the, like, classic, like, yeah, I do neck exercises.
Loose went neck roll. I love it.
Yeah, he had the neck roll. So he meant business, man.
Hey, compared to Lovie Smith, who was just like, hey, I'm back in Chicago. It's a nice fall day. Yeah. You know, I'm still getting paid to be an NFL head coach. This is pretty good.
Did you get the same vibe from Lovie that he was just chilling over there? Because I thought he was just like.
He is the calmest coach in the world. And you guys know this from working in the media. Like, fans would get so mad. Like, just his demeanor after losses or anything. They're like, we need more from you. But it doesn't matter if we won, if we lost, like, he's going to be the same guy. Yeah. That's what you got to respect about Lovey. Never too high, never too low. But people are like, hey, when you have a bad loss, you got to start, you know, chewing out people, or you have to have a different demeanor. But that's what I loved about him.
I respect it. He somehow kept that going 5 years and down in Champaign. I don't know how he did it. That was pretty amazing.
I thought he looked more constipated with the Bears to then like, this was just like that dude. I thought he was just relaxed, but maybe I need to go back and check the tape.
Before we get to the quarterback, Corey, what'd you see from Roquan Smith yesterday? Because it just last week may have been his worst game as a pro. Yeah. And then he didn't practice all week with a hip injury. And then all of a sudden, the dude looks like himself yesterday, was flying around.
Yeah, it was pretty surprising. I thought it was the conditioning factor, but the fact that he didn't practice all week, I mean, I don't know. I think he definitely missed a lot of training camp, right? So a lot of valuable reps and reads. And he's still young in his career yet. So I think that was him maybe just warming up, getting into the groove of things. And like you said, he was flying around. And we saw that Roquan speed, that SEC, that Georgia speed that we were used to. And he was all over the place. I mean, he was probably arguably my highest graded player. Flying around, had the big pick to seal the game. But it's back to what Roquan was doing, and a lot of people were like, oh, I'm glad we didn't pay him, but that's the Roquan that we saw on Sunday, the one that was going to get paid the big bucks. So it was good to see him back.
Let me ask you this from, like, a scheme standpoint and him getting comfortable in this. It's a different defense. Yeah. It's a different position for him. So from being a defensive lineman playing in front of those linebackers, what is he adjusting to compared to when the Bears were in that 3-4 and you had more two-gapping going on in front of you? Maybe you're flying free a little bit more. I mean, what's different for him that he's adjusting to?
So he's adjusting to now he's lining up in a different spot completely. Remember I talked about that. He's a little bit more comfortable on the inside, and now he's more of the outside role. So he kind of has to line up a little wider than usual. So for him, it probably looks foreign at first, and especially not having the training camp reps and whatnot, it's definitely different. So in those first couple games, especially in the Green Bay game, you know, he just seemed very hesitant. And in this past game, we didn't. So it seemed like he's starting to get more comfortable in that. And, yeah, like the 3-4, their job is to eat up blocks, right? The 4-3 is penetrating, right? That's the biggest thing. And, you know, you see some of these guys not penetrating as much, so it was different for him to get used to. He's used to the guys, you know, shocking and locking, playing two gaps off him, and then he fits off them. He got real used to guys like Akeem Hicks and Goldman and company. So it's definitely a different look. But it was great to see him flying around out there because – you know, everyone's thinking, did he lose a step? I didn't think he lost a step. I think it was just about him being comfortable, and I thought the conditioning, but not practicing last week. I think it's more about him just being comfortable. And sometimes people think, well, it's linebacker, right? But Mike to Will, you know, it's a completely different game in there. You know, so it's great to see him that he can play that role, and he showed that he can.
That was big.
Yeah, I think everybody took a collective sigh of relief. Okay, 58 is back. He got out physicaled in the Packer game. It was weird.
Yeah.
You're first making contact 9 yards down the field, exactly. And you're going backwards. That's not what you're supposed to look like at all. And this was – I mean, he had huge plays.
Exactly.
Third and two at the goal line, third and one, whatever it is, he's in the backfield. He's forcing field goals. I mean, outside of just the pick, which that pick is underrated because, you know, he knew what he was going to do before the play. He executed it on the play. I mean, unbelievable. They obviously do not win that game yesterday without Roquan.
And I saw on the first two drives, there was two running plays where he was attacking the blocker down the field. And then after those two plays, it seemed like he had a switch that was like, all right, I'm going to come downhill more.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat them to the punch. And because when those two plays first happened, I said, oh, no, here we go again.
Well, I was worried that he was just playing hurt.
Yeah,
you know, and
exactly.
I'm like, oh, this is going to be a tough game for him to finish.
And then after those two plays, it seemed like he was just reading and reacting, right? And that's what separates him, right? If you're thinking at all in football, you are wrong, right? Your preparation – you know, your film study is going to tell you everything you need to know, right? On tendencies, what the offensive linemen are doing, you know, when they have that combo block and they're going up to you at the next level. And he seemed like he was just ahead of the punch on this. And that could be a key thing, you know?
On the rewatch, too, as far as linebackers go, I just want to throw in a little Nicholas Morrow. I don't know.
He looked good.
He flashed a bunch. I got him down here on a couple of plays here. Now I got to scroll back through. But regardless, great tackle, Moore on Burkhead on a completion on third down. That would have saved a first down.
Even in coverage, he had a third and six where he had a run downfield. I'm assuming it was a tight end, but he was in tight coverage.
That was Farrell Brown. I got that on here as well. I mean, Nicholas Moore.
That's a wide receiver even.
Yeah. So he's
got the athleticism. Anytime you can hang with a wide receiver down the field, I mean, that's great to have linebackers that can run receivers.
He had a tackle in the backfield. I like it, and it's a great story too.
Exactly. Yeah, I like what I saw from the defense, but the defensive line, I think that's the most disappointing for me thus far through the first couple weeks.
I feel like the pass rush has been a little inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Like they've had moments,
for sure.
I think where I'm still worried about going forward is just I don't know that they answered the run stopping questions yesterday.
Exactly.
Like and I agree with you. I think if they had kept running with Damian Pierce, who looks like a really solid rookie running back.
He might have had 140 because I didn't understand them going to Burkhead, especially
in
the red zone by the goal line.
Super
I'm like,
weird.
He's your utility guy. He's your guy that's going to catch it out of the backfield, maybe get a toss, a sweep. But I didn't understand that because Pierce was really grinding them and they got away from it. So that's the key, like stopping the run going forward. Like that teams are looking at the film and they're like, we can exploit them running the football, right? And then all of a sudden, you work those play actions. We struggle at pressure at times. It's better to be able to stop the run because then you know what they're going to do. You know when they're going to pass. Then now we can bring pressure. And I think that's the key thing. Not being able to stop the run, that's probably why the pass rush is very inconsistent, right? They're worrying too much about that. And then you get off balance and all of a sudden they throw the ball. You're not ready to go. So if they can knock out that run, then the pass rush will improve. And then let's bring pressure. and then confuse them. That's it.
Deep into the Texans, they used Burkhead a bunch in week one, didn't use him in week two.
Exactly.
And it was just interesting the way they slid him in there yesterday. I'm like, okay. I mean,
all right, I want to get your thoughts on the quarterback too, because we do have to discuss Justin Fields. But first, this football season, PointsBet is bringing you a better way to bet live on games, which means before this ad is over, you can place a live same game parlay, bet on the next drive to be a touchdown, and cash out on your live second half over bet. With PointsBet, you have access to more live football markets than ever before. You can build the perfect live same game parlay by combining your favorite bets anytime. I thought I had the perfect live same game parlay yesterday, but Roquan Smith couldn't stay on his feet.
Oh.
Take it to the house, my man.
I had
the Bears defense scoring in that game.
Oh, so close.
And I thought he had a chance there when he picked it off. But you can buy in your favorite bets anytime during the game, including the spreads, totals, player props, and more. Choose the outcome of the next drive, next points with PointsBet Lightning Bets. So whether you are on the move or on the couch, do it live on PointsBet. Download the PointsBet app today. Sign up with code CHGO to get your first two bets risk-free up to $2,000. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
Best way to get your tickets, you know this, is Game Time Tickets. Get yourself the app of Game Time, if you will. Thank you very much. Get that app downloaded, the Game Time app. Live that dream right here on your phone. I know I do. Best deals right here for you. And I'm getting excited with Bulls Media Day today to get some good, amazing value ads on my United Center experience this winter. So the Game Time app is the hottest new ticketing site. Courtside, you want to pay less for courtside, way to do it, and or sit up top. That's sweet. Concerts too, don't forget that. You are not going to find better deals anywhere else other than on the Game Time app, created by the fans, for the fans. And also, if you are a fan of CHGO, the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Get to support the product, get to get great value on your tickets. Download that Game Time app, Game Time Tickets.
All right. Let's talk about Justin Fields a little bit.
Karma's got a comp. Can't wait for my comp. But first, let's get all the thoughts.
Yeah. I hope it's a good comp.
Yeah.
I think it's a great job by me. Solid performance.
Let's see what you got, Karma.
We'll let us judge that. Okay. Your general thoughts on what you saw yesterday, Corey?
You know, I thought the plan early on was good. Like, same thing like Green Bay. You know, the first two drives, I thought they were moving the ball efficiently. We're getting the run game going, working off the play action. And then we got away from that a little bit, right? We got away from that plan. And then the throws by Justin Fields, I mean, those picks were bad. I mean, the one time he's throwing off his back foot, doesn't really follow through all the way. I'm just very confused by some of these throws, right? And I think right now he's trying to do too much.
Which one confused you the most?
The first one.
Okay.
I was literally like, where is he throwing the ball? And the fact that, listen –
you're talking about the ball to commit.
Exactly. Okay. When you're in the pocket, right? Yeah, it's going to break down from time to time. And you're going to have to follow through, and you might hit your hand on somebody or this. You can't throw off your back leg. He can't do it.
Here's what confused me about that play.
Ding, so back leg.
Komet was his first read.
Yep.
And as Fields said after the game, and I agree with him, he was open. He just missed the throw. But the safety's coming over to the top, and they had a bust on the left side.
Exactly.
There's two Texans defenders underneath there.
Exactly.
No one ran with the wide receiver. I think it was EQ.
Yep.
Running wide open down the left side. So I get that Komet's your first read, but here's two things. Like, one, a better quarterback realizes he's got a touchdown on his second read.
Exactly.
Okay, and then the second thing I don't understand is he's actually lined up to throw to EQ.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at where his body's lined up as he throws to Komet, he's actually lined up to throw to the left side. And so I don't know if that's just poor mechanics or he got kind of crossed up in his head as he decided to throw the ball, which one he was going to throw to, but either way, it's confusing.
I thought he felt the pressure, and I just think, you know, he doesn't feel confident when there's pressure down his throat. He's over here. He seems a little nervous and timid because, like you said, that's an easy touchdown. Like, he literally would have dumped it out there, and we have six there. So I feel like he's trying to do too much, right? Because I feel like he feels the pressure from the media, everyone saying he can't play. So he really wants to prove to himself that he can. And I think the thing like this, to get Justin Fields confident and to get this offense going, is start out with the same plan we had, right? 21 personnel, 22 personnel. Let's get the running game going. That is the strength of the team. And then work the passes off that, right? And then once, because you see when the running game is going, right? That's when everything opens up. That's when these completions, he looked good, right? Because it sets everything. It buys the defense eyes. And then all of a sudden he has easy, you know, short and intermediate throws. And that's what's going to get him confident. Because I think right now just straight dropping back, and I know from time to time we're going to have to do it, but if we can rely on the run game and, you know, like Khalil Herbert and company, if we can get things going, get first downs on top of first downs, work that play action, then all of a sudden he's going to get confident. Because through the first three games, that's when he's most confident, when the running game is going and then we can work the play action from it.
There were some plays where I want to give credit to Luke Getsy. Fields has all the best of it. He's out of the pocket. There's nobody around him. Mm-hmm. He can literally take a nap and then make a throw. Yep. And then the other side of it, I'm wondering, how is he getting worse? Like, that does not that
he's taking steps back.
That's like, and I think that's where you know there's this tends to happen with the quarterbacks in this town. You start getting everybody's got to be on a camp. I just like to evaluate what we're seeing each week, okay? And I think people overreact like it's some referendum. When I say I'm concerned, when I'm worried, it's exactly what you just said, Carm. Like, this isn't just him going through rookie or young quarterback ebbs and flows. These last 2 weeks have been concerning. Like, they've been when I was driving here this morning, I heard on Mike Greenberg's show, they looked it up. No team has won a game in the NFL with this quarterback, with those quarterback stats yesterday, 8 completions, 2 interceptions, and 5 sacks, I think is what they looked up. No team in the NFL has won with those stats from their quarterback since 1974. Which is a completely different era of football. So when I get on here yesterday and I'm just saying, like, you're not going to be able to win games the rest of the season with that quarterback play. That's what I'm getting at. I'm not trying to be negative. It has to be better. It just has to be better. Or these national guys out there that say the Bears aren't going to win a game the rest of the year, they're going to be proven right if you don't get better quarterback play.
Yeah, it's really surprising. And I think the most disappointing for me is the reads and the throws, right? Like, scramble, throw it at somebody's feet. Like, just do not throw it out of bounds. Like, do not make those throws. He knew right when he threw both of them. Like, they are bad throws. It wasn't like he got tipped. It was close coverage. He's trying to fit it through a window. Those were just bad throws. Yeah. You cannot do that, right? And I think if he would have just tucked those and threw it away or something, I think we could be talking about possibly a different game, right? Because once he threw the first one, it seemed like he got in his head about everything, and then all of a sudden he's trying to make plays out of nothing. So I think he's very in his head right now. And the way – rely on the run game. I think, you know, and I know you were talking about development. We need to pass the ball. But right now we don't need that because he's shown that he really cannot do that consistently right now, right? So run the run game because that's what's working, right? That's the best part of this offense, right? And then work the play action off it. And if we have to be a team right now that is a run-first team off of play action and we grind them out, that's what it has to be until he shows confidence that he can pass the ball.
I put down a couple of Fields moments that looked good. 3rd and 5, he threw a bullet to Kmet that at the time I wrote was his best play of the day. This is on the rewatch, by the way.
That's the one we talked about yesterday where I don't know if you agree with this, Corey. I feel like Justin's maybe getting a little like he needs shots of confidence. Exactly. I call it swag. Like he's a player that plays with swag. When he's playing well, he has a swag. Yeah. I would have liked to see them throwing the ball right away after that play that you just brought up. Like, that was a good play. I would have – instead, they threw the ball – or, I'm sorry, they ran the ball the next 2 downs.
I thought the same thing. I was like, go to the line. Let's do a boot. Let's do a rollout, sprint out. Get them that confidence.
Yeah, and so I can't get on Getsy too much because, look, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, those offensive linemen are blocking like crazy on the run game. Like, so – and you still want to win the game. So you're still going to do whatever you can to win games. So I can't – when your quarterback's struggling that much and you're running the ball so well, it's hard for me to sit here and be mad at the offensive coordinator. But that was one moment where I'm like, yeah, I would have liked to see a throw.
Exactly. 45 dropbacks, he's been sacked 10 times. Now, some of that's on him, but that's a –
Absolutely it is.
Yeah. Oh,
At least six of those are on him for sure.
Right.
Holding the ball too long.
He should not be having as much trouble getting rid of the ball that he's been having. I think we've underlined that. I wrote down one other one. Mustafer had the snap infraction. This was later in the game.
I think that was on Fields, by the way.
I think so, too.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, the next play, it was first and 15. He zipped one to Mooney that looked like it should look. So that was, okay, all right, we're behind the chains, and you just picked us up. Good job, QB1. Way to go.
I think he has all the talent, right? I think he has all the tools, right?
That's why this is so frustrating.
It is. I think he's an intelligent guy. I think he can make every throw. He has legs like Lamar Jackson. He can run the ball like him. I think it's just the confidence. That's the key thing, right? And it's such a tough point to be at because there's quarterbacks – that, you know, when they go through this period, you know, they go through a little ups and downs, and then all of a sudden they get their confidence, you know, once they have one good game. That's what it's going to take for him, to get one good game, to get things going. And the key to that right now, Getsy, if I'm him, I'm saying, let's run the football, right? We know Khalil Herbert. We know the offensive line. That's their strength, right? Let's be a run-dominant team and then work these play actions off it, right? And all of a sudden, when he completes a good throw, let's get him on the move and with the option to run or pass. And then all of a sudden, he can complete another strike. All right, and that's how we get his confidence up.
I like the concept of what you guys are saying. All right, he's starting to feel it. Let's build on it. Let's keep him going. But I also would like to – I mean, maybe we got to walk before we run here. But I'd like to think that he's a good enough quarterback. Like, okay, he's feeling it. We could call whatever play they want to call, and he could still –
But they don't feel that way. And that was obvious at various points in the game yesterday that they do not feel like they can call whatever play they want.
Well, then – but okay, then to that side of it, then lean into what you're saying. Hey, he just looked great there. When we see it, let's build on it immediately.
Exactly. And I think if they can do a lot of 21, 22 personnel – that's what's going to get him the confidence. And then we can take shots deep, right? Because if Khalil Herbert is running the ball effectively and then we get back to the line, all of a sudden, you know, we do hard play action and then their eyes are in the backfield and then we could take a shot deep. So it's going to take some things like that to get him going. And if he completes a long ball like he did to Pettis in that first game, that's when he started getting the confidence, right? So I think if you get him on the move, that's where he seems the most confident, right? When he can use his feet and have the option to run or pass, he's a playmaker, right? So allow him to do that. And then once he gets that confidence, I think he could be a pocket passer.
Well, one little source of optimism, and we'll get to that super chat in a second because it's not on this topic, but one little thing of optimism, I think, is I'm thinking of, I think it was the Pettis corner route against the Browns in the preseason. That was an example of Fields' footwork, his alignment, his shoulder, everything. Like, if you think about it like a golf swing, like when you want to hit straight, like everything needs to line up perfectly. And that was an example where he did have it lined up. He turned, he had lined up perfectly, he threw a strike. So it's in there somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, I actually thought this time a month ago that he had gotten there.
Yeah.
That he had made those improvements. So it's probably just, okay, we're back in regular season. Everything's faster. The pass rushes is there.
Pressure's more. Media's down my neck.
Yeah, everything matters more. You know, it's not a Saturday night in Cleveland where half your fan base isn't even probably watching the game because it's August. You know, like... So I still think it's in there somewhere. I'm just concerned that it actually seems to have gotten worse the last couple of weeks. That's where the concern comes from.
I mean, I don't know if we need to build on Matt Nagy's preseason Hogue comment here, but I in the same general genre, if you will, if you can do it once, sweet, but the challenge is to replicate it over and over and over, and that's what it looks like. And he works at it, so
What's your comp?
Okay, so I pulled three. Let's put them up here, Joey. And I appreciate Joey's like a ninja putting this together. So there's QB1, QB2, QB3. Now, one of those.
Oh, we're playing this game. Yes. Mine resume.
Yes. So I pulled.
Do you ignore the fact that you already.
Do you know who I pulled out? I don't think you do.
For this one of these quarterbacks?
Yeah. Do you know who I pulled?
Trubisky is one of them.
Okay.
Jay Cutler's another?
Nope. No, I didn't pull Jay.
So explain what we're looking at, though.
We're looking at let's start at the top. See, as you see on the bottom, wins, losses. This is through 13 starts. Yeah. We have three quarterbacks up there.
So they
all have the same one loss record. That's coincidence. I didn't completely do it that way, but that's how it turned out. They were all 4-9.
Okay.
Now, one of them is winning right now. He's 3-0, which really gives it away. But it's interesting, and let's pull up Fields first, which if people are guessing,
yeah, the QB2, yep.
Okay. That would be QB2. So Justin Fields through 13 starts. I did not take the games where he came off the bench. There it is. He's 170 for 289. That's 58%. Mm-hmm. 9 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and 2,018 yards. By far the lowest yards.
So just to clarify, we do have one. So I think the yards on two should be 2018.
Yeah.
That's all good. I just want to make sure.
People, you're right.
It's
you're
okay.
Right.
I just want to make sure people look at it and understand that that's a typo.
Yeah, okay. So that's a typo there. So so those yards should be 2018 for Fields. No problem. Okay.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. So he's got the least amount of yards. Now, which one is Mitch between those two?
QB3.
That is correct. So Trubisky, through 13 starts again, he's got 219 completions to Fields' 170. So let's do the math on the fly there. That would be 49 more completions. He also threw 365 passes to 289. So that is 76 more passes, okay?
That's what's standing out to me about this almost more than anything, Carm.
Yeah.
Is the lack of attempts.
Yeah.
Like, we're
yeah.
talking about the same amount of games.
Yeah.
I covered the 2017 Bears.
Yeah.
Like, that was not an exciting offense. That was putting a quarterback on training wheels. Yeah. And this is crazy that Justin has that many fewer passing attempts.
Yeah,
the same amount of games.
Right, and that and by the way, if you go back and look at it, at the end of the season last year, they let Fields throw a little bit at least.
Exactly.
But they overall they've been trying to win games, so they haven't been letting him throw.
Wow.
So you could certainly make a fair argument, I would think, that has he played enough? Has he got enough opportunities? I think the answer, when you really look at how much he's thrown the ball. Mm-hmm. I think the answer is clearly no. Yep. So if we're looking for some optimism, there's at least one little nugget. And now touchdown interception-wise, Trubisky Fields, obviously you see it.
Yep.
So Fields throwing a lot more picks.
And yeah, with a lot fewer attempts.
With a lot fewer attempts.
Yeah, that's
decision making.
And nobody ever thought that, you know, Mitch dumped it down a ton, but I don't think anybody would say he was an elite decision maker. Now the other guy here is, I think, at least one person that you would want Fields to turn into. And that is Jalen Hurts, who is in his third year, and he got to throw, if you go back through the numbers, a ton early. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles, late in the season last year, started not throwing it nearly as much. And his run numbers went up, and their victories went up, and they got in the playoffs, and they're off to a 3-0 start. So there you go.
By the way, he's looked great the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Hurts. I mean, great.
Yeah, exactly. Different guy. So I'm not going out here picking top of the food chain here. Like, I think where we are looking for Justin to get to is a quarterback that you can win with. That's where I'm at with him.
I think the key, right, if you want to pass the ball, let's stop with this, you know, five-step drop at times, him holding the ball too long. Let's get some of these dink and dunk throws like the Patriots used to do.
Yeah.
Right, and then like they're doing with Mac Jones.
Quick.
That's just quick, you know.
Tom
five,
Brady
six
still
yards.
Does that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just quick game,
just to get his confidence up. Right,
yeah.
Let's go Cole Kmet over the seam. Let's do an out route to Mooney. You know, let's get these quick throws to get his confidence up. Because once you start stacking those completions, that's when your confidence. It seems like when they try to drop back and throw, it's either a three-step drop that he's holding the ball too long, or it's a five-step drop. And I'm like, we just need to do some.
Yeah.
Obviously, if we have a third and really long, that's what we have to do. But early on. Let's get some of these dink and dunk throws.
The other thing you're seeing, I think we touched on this last week too. We certainly talked about it, I remember, during the Packer game. But the Texans did it again yesterday. They're just they don't really care that they're taking a defender away from the run. They're just putting somebody on, don't let him boot.
Exactly.
They're blitzing the boot. They're every time you saw it last week against the Packers, you saw it again yesterday. They're taking away that boot action away. Now the plus side of that, if you're the Bears, then you run the other way, you run the ball, they're down a defender.
He should have checked that play, the one he got sacked off the edge. I knew it. I said, he's coming. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he's got to see that, and he's got to check that to a run the other way. He's got to know that. So I think stuff he's thinking too
much. That's how you counter it. You got to give the quarterback the opportunity. But if they can't trust him to do that, that's part of the problem.
But, yeah,
but that's where when – I know you're – credit to you, Karn, by the way, for using like Mitch Trubisky and Jalen Hurts, because my brain keeps going to like everything Aaron Rodgers does. But like when Aaron Rodgers stands there in the shotgun, he sees that, and he every single play he has two plays.
Yep.
Every single snap he has two plays.
Right,
and he could just play ball. Right,
and it's up to him to call the right play at the huddle and or at the line.
He knows what every defense is doing playing against a guy like Rodgers. He used to knew all the time, you know, he'd call out stuff. Oh, yeah, Peppers is slanting inside. They check it off that, you know, then we run a play outside. It was unbelievable just how he knew what they were doing. That's half the battle, right? If I'm Justin Fields, I need to know everything out there, right? What formations are giving me, what they show when they blitz. And he should have picked that up right away. And that's why I think he's just thinking too much. Because that play should have never happened, right? Everyone saw it. You saw it. We saw it. Yeah. I'm like, that guy's coming off the edge, clean for a sack.
Yep. I love underlining the intelligence of elite athletes. It's
really impressive.
It's something that it's part of the skill set that doesn't get talked about enough. I like to bring it because I like to bring everything back to basketball at some point. But, like, LeBron James could be, like, on one play in the second quarter, well, so-and-so is over there and so-and-so is over there. That is one play in 800 plays that were in the game, and somehow you have the recall. That's the same thing with Rodgers. And one other just quick point on Hurts, if I may, and it's different. But early in the year last year, the Eagles started 3-6, 39 attempts, 48 attempts, 37 attempts in a 21-18 game that they lost, 37 attempts, 198 yards. And then late in the year, they went the other way with him, and they turned around their season. I don't know exactly where this is going. No one does, but they let him. I just hope if the Bears get down in games, when that happens, maybe the Vikings game. I don't think it's going to happen this week, and they're in trouble. Dude, you are going back there and you are throwing the football. Let him throw it 40 times and let him learn. I think that's.
I mean, somebody's going to be able to stop the run, right? They're going to game plan for it. Yeah. They're going to load the box and they're going to say, Justin Fields, you got to beat me, right?
That's
And that's what I worry about right now in this state. Like, if it's the next game against the Giants, who played pretty well, you know, defensively, like, is this a situation where they're going to stack the box and say, Justin Fields, let's see you beat me?
Yeah.
You know, because he hasn't shown anything to be a consistent passer yet.
That's what's so concerning to me is, like, you don't run for 281 yards in an NFL game.
That's not consistent.
And if you do, your quarterback should be able to take advantage of it. Like, that's what's, like, mind-boggling to me.
Exactly. Like, they cannot stop the run. Like, usually that's a quarterback's live for that,
yes.
Right? Because then they're like, oh, play action? Oh, let's take a shot deep, 90-yard touchdown. It just opens everything up.
Yeah.
Right? Guys are in the eyes in the backfield, the defensive backs, the safeties, you could beat them over the top. So that was the most disappointing part for me, is the fact that they couldn't capitalize, like you said, on that great running game.
Shout out to the Fields believers out there.
They're a strong group.
Well, yes, and who are remaining calm right now and are not freaking out and are choosing to cherry pick what looks good and realize that you boil everything together and it's no time to panic.
Yeah.
It doesn't do any good anyway. Let's stay the course. He's going to play this season versus, you know, I'm looking at myself in the mirror right now, a little too reactive to, like,
no, but see, here's what I want to clarify, though. This is what actually bothers me every week. Us breaking down a really bad game that he called trash himself. He wanted to say the words, I played like ass.
Yes.
He stopped himself from saying that.
That's
this is not panic. This is us breaking down what happened. in a relatively calm manner, by the way.
Yeah.
No one here on this show, I'm not even sure I've heard it elsewhere, at least in any media area, has said this guy can't play, get rid of him. Like, no one's saying that. Everyone's bringing up valid concerns. It's not panic. It shouldn't look like this. You said that last week. It shouldn't look like this. That's all that's being said here.
Right. Nobody has done a Ken Dorsey on this show.
Ken Dorsey. That was hilarious. And by the way,
you don't
shout
get the reference,
out,
Bill's offensive coordinator in the booth yesterday, complete meltdown.
Yeah. And shout out to whoever had his back who covered up that camera.
I know.
Like, that dude.
He was throwing stuff. He was kicking stuff. He was probably cursing. He was saying every name in the book, man.
Don't be six. You're an adult. Do people do that at Carmel?
No.
They don't. No offense.
I've seen it, though, at the high school level.
But don't you guys think just going forward with this offense, right, we just have to be a run-first team. And that's it is what it is at this point, right?
And that's okay.
That's fine. And that's what I think they're trying to do. They're trying to be like, oh, yeah, he can pass the ball and we can do this. And then when he has those dropbacks, Justin Fields think, I got to prove that I can pass the ball, right? He's really, really trying to prove it. But listen, run the ball. Like, two tight ends, a fullback, let's get that running game going. Work the play actions off it. And then get him on the move more. And that's what we're going to do at this point. That's what has to be done right now.
Right. And that's fine. And maybe that results in 17 pass attempts again. The problem is, if that's the case, it should be 14 to 17.
Exactly.
With no interceptions.
Yep.
Maybe one touchdown. Maybe no touchdowns because you're running the ball so well. It shouldn't be 8 of 17, two interceptions.
And two really bad throws.
Yes.
Really bad.
But correct. I do want to get back on track a little bit with some of the things that you can actually sit in the coach's room today at Hallis Hall and say, okay, well, this is going well. This is if you're Ryan Poles and you're saying this is a guy that maybe we can keep. So let's talk about that. First, though, want to make sure you know about Chi-Town Custom Cornhole. If you were at our tailgate yesterday, you saw their products. We had two bag sets set up. I know they go by cornhole. I could get an argument about that, but that's fine.
I'm
calling it bags.
My biggest faux pas yesterday was not filming the bags going on.
Hey, Bragg's backed it up, man. He said,
ooh.
I put the film on.
Some good comp out there.
I had the camera on. He said, it's game point. I need to drain this. I'm going to MJ, and he did it.
Shout out, Bragg's.
Brick by brick, baby. I see you, Greg Bragg's.
That's right. But Chi-Town, if you were there, you saw what Chi-Town Custom Cornhole can do. They are the number one cornhole provider for Chicagoland and Illinois since 2007. Their signature box-style design can be digitally printed, covered in vinyl, and painted. You can put whatever you want out there. It's all customizable. Our cornhole boards, they come with built-in drink holders, which is
huge.
Clutch. There's the hole actually lights up. On the ones we have, so you're playing nighttime, you can get fancy with that. LEDs that light up the hole, and it has handles too, easy for carrying with the handcrafted scorekeepers on there too. Veteran owned and operated too, which is great. They can ship anywhere. They offer local pickups as well, specializing in corporate designs for your company's next marketing or social event. Wedding gifts, that's a great idea. Customized wedding gift with a nice cornhole set for you. And you can make gifts for any occasion, especially for those tailgaters out there and backyard barbecues. Check it out, Chi-Town Cornhole.
I'm really also upset that I didn't play yesterday, but that's okay.
I think you were nervous about people videoing you and then posted it on the internet.
Maybe a little bit. Honestly, there was just so many people out there that I was just having a good time talking to everyone.
Okay. Sure you weren't a little nervous, Carm? Because
I think maybe in an unconsciousness mood that I was avoiding that area.
Yep. Hey, it's okay. Next time.
Peeps were out to do things. There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Looks like we have Nick.
Okay.
All right, Nick, what's up, baby?
What's up, Nicholas Moriano?
At Hallis Hall. Nick, can you hear us?
Hold on, give him 1 second. I gotta get the thing over his face.
Maybe we don't have Nick. He's
while we're waiting for him, can I shout out one other bear that we haven't fully shouted out today? EQ. First off, Getsy, super creative play, but it was a very well executed EQ in motion, Fields handing it off. That was well done. The defensive tackle, whoever that was, had no idea that St. Brown had the football. You called that out in the moment.
Yep.
But I also just noticed going back through it, dude continues each week to block well.
Yeah. He takes pride in it.
He's you want a receiver that's going to block down the field, right? Because a lot of these receivers nowadays don't want to block, right? They just want to catch the ball. And it's great to see down the field him getting blocks. And
for all the shit Mooney's going through and he wants to spend an hour on the field afterwards catching passes off the jugs machine because he had a drop. You love seeing that to a point. Dude's down there blocking too.
Yeah.
And he's not the biggest guy.
He's not.
So I love seeing that too. You know, so that's a good segue to what I want to talk about. You know, even on that play where they handed it off to EQ on the end around, Braxton Jones got just a little bit of a chip that was necessary too, because just in case, I think it was 55 on the Texans, may have recognized last second who had the ball, which he really didn't. Jones was there to you know, get a little chip
Jerry
on him.
Jerry Hughes, right? It was.
And make a nice play. So I have to say for Braxton Jones so far, for a fifth-round rookie, it's been solid.
At left tackle.
Yeah, at left tackle.
The hardest position in football, in my opinion.
Real quick, Hogue, I think we got Nick ready here.
Okay.
From House Hall.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
What's up, man?
Oh, you know, just at House Hall here and waiting for Eberflus to, explain some things that happened on Sunday. But, yeah, I see, like, in the comments here, it's like a little doom and gloom. I mean, I'm kind of feeling the same way after rewatching the game, but there were some highlights. I'm glad Mark brought up EQ and his blocking, because I think consistently that guy is, you know, even coming on crackbacks, he's showing that he's not afraid of really springing guys open. So I do enjoy that EQ's game there.
Hey, Nick, slightly off topic just for 1 second. Do you know who Jeff Joniak credited for being the hardest working reporter at Hallis Hall, along with himself, voice of the Bears?
I don't know.
That would be you, buddy.
Oh, there we go.
Says the earliest to arrive and the latest to leave, Nicholas Moriano. Joniak and Moriano for the win, damn it.
We need some of the players doing that too, right? First to be there, last to leave.
Why can't Fields work like you, Moriano?
Yeah, right?
Hey, I won't take too much credit, but actually, you mentioned Jeff. He's actually here with me. We're the only two here at Hallis Hall right now. We had a conversation. We were talking about how Justin Fields needs to start hitting those layup plays, you guys, because obviously there were just throws within the game that were schemed up right, and obviously we can probably point to the Cole Kmet over the middle of the field, right, where that's just when he misses, but there are just other plays throughout the game where it's like Tristan Ebner off to the right side of him where – the ball's just not even close to him. It's like these are layups that it doesn't matter what quarterback it is. You need to make those plays. But I'm glad you mentioned Jeff. He's obviously one of the hardest working people here as well, and you know, someone that I've always looked up to. But yeah, he's we had a little conversation about Justin, and you know, we need to start seeing that out of QB1. Not everything's gonna be right on a specific offensive play, but the things he can control, he needs to take advantage of that and make those plays.
Hey, so Nick, Hulk's fired up right now.
No. I get worried about Joniak sometime. I'm going to have to call him.
Yeah. Check on him.
Yo, you know, just settle down. It's a Monday. You don't have to show up at 6 a.m. You know, take a breather. Love the guy.
Hey, he's like Braggs, right? Nice and early. You got to go to work, baby. But Nick, what do you think the biggest thing for Justin Fields? You think it's confidence in your opinion?
Ooh.
You know, maybe it's confidence. I think it's – I wonder if he's just overthinking things, man. It's like when you're not making, like, the right plays and you're not feeling pressure on the backside of you. There were a couple times where it felt like Justin just was overthinking too much, holding on to the ball too much. Just go out and play quarterback is what you kind of want to see from him. But I think it's just still we're three games into a new offense, and he won't make that excuse for himself. He said that in the press conference, you know, yesterday, that's not an excuse, but we just need to see him, again, hit some of those plays early on in games and maybe can carry over, you know, when it is the second half so that you can see a more consistent Justin Fields. But right now, just like he's not making the throws, he's holding the ball too long. And now it's just – it's like a combination of things. And that's where it can get like a trifecta for bad quarterback play, right? So we just need to see that consistently. Like even if it's gradual progression for one thing at a time. That might be better. But right now, Corey, I think it's just a mixture of everything.
What are you going to ask the head coach today, Nick? I put him on the spot. I want to.
First question, why did you move your press conference up an hour? Is it because Adam Hogue can't make it there now?
Oh.
That's what it is.
It's a 1:45 today.
1:45.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm really curious, you guys, like early on, and I know, Adam, you tweeted this, so did I during the game, but just some of those third down and it seemed like obvious passing situations, the Bears just decided to run the ball. And look, the running game was working, no doubt about it. We all saw that, but it just seemed like it was a weird decision in my mind where you're in close to scoring territory and yet you're electing to, you know, run the ball like on a draw play. Where it's like, is that the best way to go get that first down? And I know the running game was working, so just a clarification on that. And also, I know he explained his, I think, mistake right before halftime, but maybe revisiting that a little bit to see what was going on there, because you have the three timeouts, you still have time to get a potential field goal. You're down 14-13, and he mentioned the word rebuttal. He was worried about the rebuttal from the Texans if they weren't able to pick that up, and they still have two timeouts. Like, I know as a head coach, you got to think of all the scenarios, what can go right or what can go wrong, but you're already worried if you don't get it that the Texans are going to go back and score on you. I don't know. It just seems a little off to me.
Yeah, Nick, let's talk about this because after we got done with the show yesterday, I had a chance to listen to Matt Eberflus on my way home. Let me give him credit. I appreciate a head coach that shows up to the postgame show and basically says, I fucked that up, which is what he did. He said, I
thank you.
Accountability.
Yes. And like your players want to hear that. Your fans want to hear that.
And it's fine.
And it's okay. You learn from it. All right. And he did it even stronger than Nathaniel Hackett did after the field goal incident a couple weeks ago, where Monday he goes, yeah, I screwed that up because we didn't make it. No, that's not why you screwed it up. You screwed it up because you had no idea what you were doing. Yeah. So I appreciated that from Eberflus, first of all. And he actually explained it. He's like, I was encouraged by this. They have it down to like the second. He's like, in that situation, you want to get to 35 seconds. Then you call timeout because they still had their timeouts. Cool. That's awesome. So that means you had it planned and you knew that. So why didn't you call the timeout? And you know what the answer is?
He's learning.
They didn't trust the quarterback, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's
what it is.
That is 100%.
That's the only answer.
Because everybody is going for that, trying to get in the field goal range, like in that situation. They didn't trust him. That's plain and simple. That's it. They didn't trust him.
He told you, we had an idea of what we were doing. Yeah. We had it written down. We had our analytics. We had it down to the second. We had the timeouts. We were going to call it. And he's just like, I got to do it next time. Well, then why didn't you do it this time?
He wasn't worried about Davis Mills getting the ball back and driving down the field after a potential punt. He's not worried about that, I'm telling you.
He's worried about a turnover.
Exactly.
And you guys, I wrote about that today or yesterday, like – just what they were doing within the game and how they specifically handled the final seconds before halftime, it did seem like there was a lack of trust in Justin Fields. And his play didn't reassure them that he could be trusted, which is some of the throws and decisions he was making. And obviously there's a lot of people like, well, I don't know, Nick, that's maybe too harsh of a way to go right now. It's only three games. But in that game specifically, that's what it appeared to be to me. That the trust is in that game was not there. And you can just look at the final seconds of halftime and how it all played out. Actions speak louder than words. And I've been saying that for a while now. And that your actions, not taking the timeout, potentially trying to go score, really showed what you kind of think about at this moment with Justin Fields.
Yes, indeedy, it did.
Nick, anything else before we let you go?
No, just one last thing, though. Obviously, Roquan Smith had a hell of a game, but I really liked the play of all the linebackers in this one. It seemed like they were all playing fast, knew a little bit more comfortable in this defense. You see Nicholas Morrow in the coverage that he was, you know, providing throughout the game. Even a guy like Joe Thomas that got moved up to the active roster. There are key plays from those linebackers, and I think, you know, obviously if you have that unit playing well, you can see what the results can be against, you know, a good rushing attack that the Houston Texans brought in to Soldier Field. But, yeah, Roquan definitely deserves all the credit for how he played. There was a third and it was a first down play with 7 minutes in the third quarter, and he's the furthest linebacker from the play, and yet he just shoots a gap and dives and makes it a tackle for no gain. And it was just like, that's the Roquan Smith that you want to see. But just want to give a shout out to all the linebackers. I thought they had a definitely a good day on Sunday.
Enjoy the press conference. Go get the answers the Bears fans are craving. Tell Joniak I say hi and to make sure he's in bed by 9:30 tonight.
Sounds good. All right, you guys.
All right, there he is, Nicholas Moriano. Make sure you're following him on Twitter, at Nicholas Moriano. He will have the coverage from House Hall, that press conference, at 1:45 today.
It seems like, too, in Denver, they don't seem like they really trust Russell Wilson right now, too. Right?
I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what's going on.
That Broncos thing, he's got like a coach upstairs.
Dude, when
did you see that? Like they hired, they brought in like
they don't trust him. It seems like they don't trust Russell Wilson right now.
They don't trust the coach. It's bizarre. And then they're still getting the timeouts wrong. They're still challenging the wrong plays.
Yeah.
I know the Bears are probably being looked at as like the worst 2-1 team in football right now, but the Broncos are the most bizarre 2-1 team.
Oh, right? You would have thought, you know, Russell Wilson would be lighting it up. You thought maybe the first game was just a fluke, but he's kind of struggled a little bit. Their play calling seems like they're not really confident in him throwing the ball. It's like you paid this guy all this money. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, and especially in that first game, you're not going to let him pass the ball on fourth down.
Broncos are 2-1, but they've been the Seahawks and whatever the hell last night was. So, and I didn't watch a ton of it, but when I did watch, I'm like, you look. The Niners look terrible. Garoppolo was horrible.
Jimmy Garoppolo pulled a Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah,
he stepped out of the back of the end zone, which actually saved him, because he threw a pick six on the play.
Yeah,
but everyone was talking about before the season that the AFC West could be the greatest division in the history of football. Right now, there's one damn team. And I mean, like, the Chargers are even off to a slow start.
Well, the Chargers have everyone hurt.
Yeah, I mean,
unfortunately, it just came out Rashawn Slater is probably out for the year.
That sucks.
Killer.
Unfortunate for him.
Pro Cats.
And Anthony Walker too this week.
Yeah, tough week for the Cats. You know, hopefully it's not as bad as we think.
They're going to roll into Penn State and win on Saturday. I got no doubt.
That would be classic Northwestern.
It really would. Come on, Fitz.
You lose the games you're supposed to win, and you win the games you're supposed to lose.
All that matters is the Big Ten West, baby. Then this is not even a Big Ten West game.
We got to do something for the Wisconsin-Northwestern game in 2 weeks.
I'll tell you, people are coming out of the woodwork asking for tickets for that thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like I got people coming. I got Adam Capes from out of town.
Are they all Badger fans?
Well, his son does go to Wisconsin, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Northwestern fans are not
exactly. I don't think Northwestern fans are lining up to the game. You're going to be jumping around.
Wisconsin always struggles in Evanston.
They do.
Always. Dude. Like, that's another game they'll probably win.
Let's go.
You know?
Let's go.
The thing is, we don't know. This year we're struggling to stop the run, so I'm a little nervous. Usually in the past we stop the run.
Yeah.
But
Braylon Allen about to have 400 yards.
Northwestern should be advertising on this show. We give them a lot of love. Go Cats.
We do.
Go Cats.
All right. Good stuff, Corey. Awesome having you here on another Monday.
They
did win. They are 2-1. There are good things to look at. And, hey, if you could survive the season and play 500 football, it's actually a pretty good year. Yeah. But the quarterback, you got to get something out of
him. I just want to say it one more time. Everybody out there in Fields land who's remaining calm and not freaking out, and no one's freaking out here. We're just calling it as it is, as Adam said. But for those of you who are having your conversations with your friends, relatives, and whatnot, and are saying, like, just relax, take it easy, give them the whole season, we don't need to freak out, you have my full respect.
Yeah, we won. You're not allowed to criticize anybody or anything. Doesn't matter.
And all I'm saying to those people, Carb, is I am with you on that. Good for you for staying so positive. I hope next week we are breaking down a 4-touchdown, 300-yard performance.
Like Trubisky against the Bucks.
Yeah.
A couple years
That'd
ago.
That'd be great.
Braggs wants to know what to watch tonight, by the way.
Don't get mad at the people who are just calling what they're seeing. If someone's out there saying Fields is a boss, get rid of him, that you can get mad at. That's an overreaction. But simply pointing out when the quarterback himself said he played like trash.
Don't do this. You're trying to control Twitter. You're trying to control the internet.
I'm not doing that. Yeah, no, I'm just saying that if you're trying to compliment those that are staying level-headed, that you also have to hold them to that expectation. They can't just get mad at everyone who's saying the quarterback played like trash when the quarterback played like trash.
You're right.
That's what I'm saying.
Honest assessment. Like, there's
if
no
you're
going to
be even keeled about the quarterback, be even keeled about the breakdown analysis of what's actually happening too.
Yeah, right. Let those who are panicking, let them panic. You just stay in your lane.
It's definitely concerning, but I think the fact that they're 2-1 at this point, right? It's a pretty good position to be in.
Yeah.
With how bad the quarterback play has been, how we haven't been able to stop the run. So this week against the Giants, right, Saquon Barkley's going to come out and try to run the rock. Yep. Defensively, how are we going to stop the run? I love what the linebackers did this week in the run game, right? Defensive line, they need to step up, get pressure on Daniel Jones, right? Offensively, let's stick with the run game, the 21, 22 personnel. Let's get some of these dink and dunk throws off of the play actions. Then let's get things going, right? But that has to be the identity of this team because that's the strength right now.
That's the strength, but to win those games – the quarterback's going to have to step up too and make
plays. He's going to have to,
He's going to have to hit the open touchdown and not the interception.
But you know how we do that.
That's just the play that has to happen.
You know how we do that in the first two quarters, that's where we get his confidence up with some of those play actions, the dink and dunk throws, the five-yard outs. Then we get Mooney some more touches, Cole Kmet, and that's how things open up. That's what they have to do. It can't be a 20-yard route, you know, all of a sudden. We're not ready for all that.
Yep. Hey. Bears After Dark tonight, baby.
Bears After Dark tonight is right.
Will DeWitt, Greg Braggs.
Nick?
Surprise
third?
I think Nick probably jumps on at some point. There's always surprises along the way.
Brick by brick, baby. Greg Braggs, what's up, baby?
Alongside Giants and Cowboys, Saquon out there. You know, a little scout for the old football Giants.
I'm excited. Yeah, I always like when the Bears' next opponent plays on Monday night.
It's great to watch.
It makes
it
more interesting.
Scouting. At least we're going to see their plan.
The Giants, I think, open is 2.5-point favorites. Already went up to 3. We'll see if that adjusts tonight based on the game.
I think they'll win this one.
The Bears?
The Giants.
Oh, tonight.
Yeah. They've been playing great defensively. Yeah. So I think they've been taking the pressure off Daniel Jones. They've been stopping the run.
Giants offensive coordinator is?
Mike Kafka.
There you go.
St. Rita's finest, baby. Northwestern.
I mean, just everywhere.
Yeah.
The purple just reigns. Yeah, well, Cowboys have had the Giants number, but no Dak, so there's that. Anyway.
All right, follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, at The Carm, at Corey Wooten, at Nicholas Moriano for the press conference coming up at 1:45. All the coverage at allchgo.com.
Shout out to all you in the chat. I loved the conversation going on today. If I was following along, it was very, very entertaining.
Okay.
It's always entertaining.
The show within the show, baby.
And tonight, Bears After Dark. Kevin, what time does that start tonight? 6:30 start, Bears After Dark.
Be there or be square.
It's gonna be, maybe I'll jump on for a second. We'll see. Since they are playing, we'll see what's going on tonight at the Hogue household. It's probably going to be if it's as crazy as this morning was, I probably won't be on.
We're having a one-year-old, man.
Life, man. It's the best. All right. We'll talk to you. Otherwise, we'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. We'll have grades, more breakdown after we see the coaches film. Talk to you tomorrow.